Hello and welcome back to the Golden Hurricast, a weekly podcast covering Golden Hurricane athletics at the University of Tulsa. I'm Ryan Token.
I'm Matt Rechteen, and occasionally the Golden Hurricast is under 30 minutes, so let's get started.
Actually, I don't think we've ever actually been under 30 minutes. I think we've been close. I think even our first one was like 20 seconds over.
Maybe this will be the one.
Stay golden.
Hurricane.
Okay, Matt. So before we get started, I got to bring something up. I don't know if you were watching the UCF game, but during that game, Mark Adams was the color commentator there, and he gave a beautiful tidbit on ESPNU there during the UCF game. You know what I'm about to say?
I saw the tweet. I was listening to it, or I was watching it on mute because Pat was doing something with work, but I know exactly what you're about to talk about.
Yes. You got to say, man, before I even say it, this is all I've ever wanted to know about Frank Cape. Probably the single best, like, note, stat thing I've ever heard about him. Props to you for this one, Frank Cape. Here it is. He said, Mark Adams says this, so I looked it up. I couldn't really find it. I didn't spend too long trying to find it. I just am taking his word for it here, but Mark Adams says that Frank Cape once coached a girls' junior high team to an 0-10 record early in his career. And, like, I don't know how he knows that or where he learned it, or why he brought it up during the game, but oh my gosh, it was so funny. And I'm pretty sure that came up while we were down like 21 in the first half to UCF. And I'm like, oh God, dude, you're a savage. Why are you bringing this up right now? It was great. So he actually, I tweeted that out, you know, I retweeted it or something. And he commented on our tweet saying, thanks for watching or something like that, which was pretty cool. So shout out to Mark Adams, but that was very awesome. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about the game. I mean, the big story to talk about today is the conference tournament. Obviously, that's all set in stone, so we'll talk a lot about that. But I got to do our due diligence here and talk about the week that was. So, kick things off here. We have now concluded the regular season. Tulsa is 11-11, 50-50 there, win-loss. Unfortunately, not 50-50 in the win-loss column in the conference. So, a losing record in the conference is 7-9, where we end the season there. We are number 118 in KenPom, 126 in the net rankings, and that is the lowest grouping of rankings there that we have had all year. Probably not surprising. We started the year, I mean, at this point, it's not surprising. We started the year, though, like 93, maybe 96, somewhere in that range. Went way, you know, started off great, right? You know, we were 7-3, I think, to start the year. Shot all the way up. I can't remember what our high was. It was in the 70s, maybe the high 60s. I think the 70s, though.
I think, 74 after our right before the Wichita State game that snapped our winning streak.
Ah, yes, that's right. Okay, good call. Yeah, so 74. We get all the way up there, and then it's a pretty steep decline after that one. So 74 all the way down to 118. It was 117 yesterday. 118 today, Monday, when we're recording. So we're still slipping, but 118 at this point, which, man, it, you know, I mean, I'm not surprised that we just look bad the last several games and other parts of the season. So it makes sense where we are, but, man, it just hurts to see that number after climbing so high earlier in the year. So it sucks, but oh well.
Finished below our preseason projection for the first time in Frank Cape's tenure at the American Athletic Conference.
Picked
at sixth and we finished seventh. So
yeah,
I don't know. I'm trying not to read too much into it, but I, you know, it seems like a pretty cut and dry sign, if, in my opinion.
To fire Frank Cape or what?
I mean, I'm not trying not to read too much into it. So, you know, I don't know if I'll say that, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, first time, you're right. He's always like the calling card, at least internally, like Tulsa Twitter has been, you know, he always finishes above his thing, which is good. And, you know, he last year, great year. Don't want to take that away from him. American Conference Coach of the Year. Fantastic season. Aside from that year, though, pretty underwhelming span as head coach. Made the NCAA tournament second season. That was great. That was kind of a fluke, not going to lie. Like, even as a Tulsa fan, I was very surprised that we made the tournament that year. Very happy that we did, right? Went to the game. It was really fun. We lost, unfortunately. I think Michigan, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we played there. Yeah.
In that play-in game.
Yeah. And lost it. But, man, it was a blast. But, like, you know, the whole story around us getting in the tournament there was, like, how did this happen? You know, Frank Kath wheeling and dealing in the background or something. Not sure. But somehow we got it in there. But then ever since then, you know, it was a couple bad years in a row after that. Great season last year, obviously, and then this year has been, I think, by all accounts, a disappointment. So,
yeah, and it's like, it's not like I'm, I just want to, like, make a point. I'm not actively rooting against Frank Haith and, like, the program or any of those. Like, anytime we have success, I love that. Like, last year, Wichita State game, like, last year was just all of that. All those great games, like, I'm always rooting for Tulsa. It's just, you know, I don't know if I'm, like, rooting for the continued hiring of Frank Haith in that sense, just because I think Tulsa can be better. But I'm sure we'll, you know, maybe talk about that more later on.
Yeah, I think so. And I agree. Okay. So yeah, let's move on to last week. And that is, we had two games. It was supposed to be UCF and SMU. The SMU game obviously canceled. So we scheduled Northeastern State from here in Oklahoma. So UCF was first up. That was on Tuesday, the March 2nd. And that was a loss, which sucks. Lost 65-58. It was 37-21 UCF at the half. So rough sledding early. Ended up losing that one. Made it a closer game later, but still not a super competitive game. And then Northeastern State on Thursday the 4th, 2 days later after the UCF game. They're a D2 team here in Oklahoma. Scheduled them, like I said, because SMU got canceled. Won that game, fortunately. Big win, 107-74, so not particularly a close one. But a win's a win. That counts as a win for us, and that pushes us to 500 on the season, so that's nice. Counted as an exhibition game for Northeastern State, but for us it was a real season game. So some of the kind of key takeaways here. Let's talk a little bit UCF first. So Rochelle pretty much led the team both games, actually. I think he had 18 against Northeastern State and 16 against UCF. Awesome week for him. Continues to play well, as he has done basically the entire year. 7-for-11 shooting against the Knights, 50% from the three-point line. He just balled out, right? Darian Jackson also had a good game, an efficient 13 points off the bench. Something I wanted to bring up quickly, though, here was Keyshawn Williams, right? So he was back in the game for this one. I think it was just two games ago he started. And no, maybe it was three games ago. I don't remember. And then relatively recent past, he started the game because, the story was he went to Frank Haith, said, hey, I think I should be getting more playing time and I'm not getting it. He started. He did not play well that game, unfortunately.
Yeah, that was the Temple game.
How many games ago was that?
Just two back. Yeah, it was middle of February, though.
Gotcha. Yeah. So two games back, he does that. So the next game, he literally didn't play, right? 0 minutes, which I'm like, okay, did he get hurt in practice or something? I don't know. Maybe that's what happened. Anyways, he did play. Like, he saw the court in this game. So it's not an injury thing, or maybe it could be, they could just be taking him easy. But still, he only played 4 minutes in this one. And, like, that is wild. If it's not an injury thing, I don't know what the deal is. Like, is this just supreme punishment for trying to start and then not performing very well? Like, that doesn't make any sense. So hopefully that's not what it is. Hopefully it's an injury that he's slowly recovering from.
Yeah. I mean, I guess either way, it's kind of not ideal. It's like, I don't really hope that he's being punished for trying to get more playing time, but I also kind of hope that he's not injured.
Yeah. 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 I know. Yeah. It's weird to say that I hope it's the injury, but, like, it makes more sense, for my brain for that to be what it is. So I guess that's where I'm coming from there. But yeah, it's weird. He did. And it's, he went slowly up again against Northeastern State. He played 7 minutes that game. I like his game. I mean, he didn't play very well when he started. He hasn't played much at all since then. So it's hard to see, but I like his game overall. So I hope it's not we don't think he did well, so you're not going to play much anymore kind of thing. But anyways, we'll see what happens with the conference tournament, because hopefully he's back to full speed. It will have been a full week since our last game when we played Tulane on Thursday, which we'll get to in a bit. Yeah, weird. Did not see that coming after starting a game. His minutes totally tanking. Besides that, for UCF, they did not, their game is the three-point line, right? Their season average is 36.1%. Like, that's pretty good. That's above average in the country. They shot under 30% from the three-point line against us, which is also uncommon. Like, teams have been shooting well against us from deep. So kind of surprised that happened, but then also doubly surprised that that happened and we still lost, right? I'm like, if we can stop UCF from making all these threes all the time like they always do against us, we're probably going to win the game, you know, I would think. But no, that did not happen. Still lost the game. They had, you know, when one thing falls short, another guy steps up. So Isaiah Adams for UCF, their big man, played a great game, 19 points against us. Darren Green, Darius Perry, two of their kind of three main guys, both had 14. So good games in general, but just not from the three-point line from them. Not atrocious, right? Right at 30%, which is you know, low, but it's not terrible for a game. Like,
right.
You know, we've shot 14 or 15% from three in a game.
And a lot of that came, like, they were shooting really hot in the first half, but it just kind of, like, dropped off in the second half. It's just... Like we've done multiple times this season, we just put ourselves in way too big of a hole by not coming out and, like, playing aggressively and not playing a strong defensive or offensive game out of the gate. I mean, we put up 21 points in the first half and then 34 in the first 10 minutes of the second half.
Like,
we've got to learn to do that 34 earlier, like, if we want to actually win these games. Like, I give them a ton of credit for, like, not just giving up and making it a 4-point game, but, like, we could have won this game by, like, 10 or 15. I feel like if we had just come out strong, which we just don't do.
Yeah, it's true. And it's hard to understand, right? But, like, at least we did have a positive out of this. And that's that Curtis Haywood and Keyshawn Embry-Simpson both played well for the most part. I mean, I don't think Curtis Haywood shot particularly well from three, but he had a good game. And they both started this game, which is,
He was 3 of 4 from three.
Oh, was it Embry Simpson that didn't shoot well from three?
Yeah, I mean, he was 1 of 4.
Okay, yeah. And then I think he shot well against Northeastern State. So, yeah, it makes that up. But anyways, yeah, like, they both played well, right? Yeah, Embry Simpson had 11 points. Haywood, 9 points on 3 of 4 from three. And, I don't know if this is true. It feels like it's the first time that both of those guys have started the game. They both started, right? I think that's the first time since, like, the first game of the year. Maybe there was another game where they both were in there. Maybe the first several games they both were starting. But it's been a while, you know. It's been usually one of those two, and then the other one will come off the bench. But I, you know, am I dreaming this up? Have they been starting together for a while? I feel like they haven't.
Mm-mm, I don't think so.
Yeah, so just like early in the season, we've come full circle. Curtis Haywood and Keyshawn Embry-Simpson back in the starting lineup, and we have the same starting lineup that we started the year with. So after all the swapping people in and out and in and out, we have landed back where we began right before the conference tournament. So weird stuff, but, you know, good stuff from Curtis Haywood. He looked confident out there. I was happy with it. You know, for all my gripes about him, he played well this game. Looked good out there. Looked smart. 3 for 4 from three. My big question, again, same question that I had last game. Why is the hot hand, like him or Brandon Rochelle, not the one shooting the three at the end of the game when we got a chance to tie this thing up? I don't know what happened there. We lost by 4 points. We were down three late. I think I said the wrong final score at the beginning. We lost 73-69. I think I said 65-58. I don't know where I had that number from. 73-69 was the final score. And we, you know, we had a chance to tie it up late in the game, taking it out of bounds. And Keyshawn Embry-Simpson, who, you know, what, he's shooting like 20-something% on the year. He's not above 30% from three, and he's not the hot hand on the night. He's 1 for 4 from the three-point line. He hasn't had a terrible game. You know, he's 4 for 8 from the field overall. He's got 11 points. But, like, clearly the hot man on the court right now is Brandon Rochelle. And then second placer, hasn't shot well in the season from three, but had a good game this game, Curtis Haywood, right? And maybe the only time I'm ever going to argue for Curtis Haywood to take a final shot ever this year. But, like, he looked good. He looked like a good player out there that game. So why was Keyshawn Embry-Simpson taking that three? You know, maybe something happened, miscommunication. We just couldn't get the ball to Rochelle, something like that. That's probably what it was. But 2 weeks in a row, this has happened, you know. Last week, Joyner was the hot hand, and I don't even remember who took the last. It was Rochelle. Yeah, Rochelle had a kind of a rough game, and he ended up taking the last one when really felt like Joyner was the hot man on the court at that point. So I just want to see the guy who's having a great game take the shot. You know, that just makes sense. So I don't know. We seem to be opposed to doing that for some reason, but just as likely it could be, you know, the plan could be to, you know, get it to the guy who we're trying to get it to, like Rochelle or like Joyner last week. And it just, you know, they're not open. They're too well covered. So we got to settle for the second or third option. And that's probably what happened, but it hurts that we just can't execute for some reason and get to the guy who needs the ball. Just like, you know, do whatever you got to do to get it in their hands, set a double screen for them, do whatever you have to. Like teams, when they're taking the last shot, you get the ball in your best player's hand, or you get the ball in the hot shooter's hand. You got to do whatever you got to do to make it happen. And whether they're being double covered or not, there's a way to get those guys open for the most part. So I don't know. It's frustrating that 2 weeks now in a row this has happened, and it's not the guy who's having the best game that's taking that shot. All right, so enough complaining about UCF. Final regular season loss that we have to talk about this year, which is great. Moving on to a win.
Last loss we have to talk about this year.
Last loss ever. Yeah, there you go. Could win the conference tournament and then still not. Aren't we good? Yeah, win the national championship. Let's go. So yeah, Northeastern State was the kind of last minute scheduling after SMU got canned. Won that game, 107-74, D2 team. This one wasn't on TV, and I also think it was like midday, right, on Thursday. I don't even think I could listen to it on the radio.
Pretty sure, yeah, it was just noon.
Yeah, so I was working obviously during this, so didn't get a chance to really follow it at all. Did you, Matt?
No, I got a couple of ESPN highlights. Not highlights, but like notifications when the game started and like halftime and all that. But nope, that was. I don't even remember what I was working to. I guess I have a job.
yeah, probably noon on a Thursday. Probably working. You could find some kind of box score stats about it, but yeah, I didn't get to watch or listen to the game. I did see that we shot 71% overall in the first half. Just like, damn, you know, regardless of who you're playing there, that's pretty impressive. So that looks good. 65% from the field overall for the game, 48% from three for the game. Obviously, we're playing a D2 team, so you know, gotta take them with a grain of salt. But still, it's nice to see that we at least elevated a bit.
The number of guys who didn't miss, like Ugbo didn't miss a shot. Darian Jackson only missed a three.
Right.
Elijah Joyner didn't miss a shot. I mean, guys were just. Josh Early didn't miss a shot. Like. Everybody was just on point.
Yeah, I mean, you got Rochelle, 18 points, led the team in scoring, kind of as usual, 55% shooting. Keyshawn Embry-Simpson, 14 points, 4-for-5 from the three-point line. That looks good. You mentioned Austin Ritchie. So, like, yeah, again, Keyshawn Williams only played 7 minutes, even against a D2 team, right? So it's got to be he's got to be dealing with some kind of injury. You got to think that's what it is. But then also you got Peyton Urbancic, right? He hits 2 threes, 2 for 3 from the 3-point line, 6 points, 9 minutes. That's pretty cool. You know, that we've hardly seen him on the court at all. I think there was like one or two games, maybe only one, that I remember him coming out and getting any time at all. And I don't think he took a shot. Maybe he did, but I don't remember if he did or not. But yeah, 2 for 3 from the three. So that's nice.
He has. So the last time he took shots was against Southwestern Christian, the other D2 school that we played.
Yeah,
nice. And then it looks like he had like one shot, maybe two shots against UT Arlington back in December.
Oh, okay. Yeah, makes sense. Yeah, so that's a win. Like I said, obviously didn't get to actually watch it or see how he looked or notice anything outside of statistics, so don't have much else to say on this one, but win's a win, right? I mean, it gets us to 500 on the year or so far, so we've got a chance to finish with a winning record, which would be, I guess, a win at this point in the season. All right, let's do our player of the week real quick. Matt, you want to start it?
Yeah, so Brandon Rochelle was the best player on our team. He got the AAC nod, like the weekly honor roll for it. So just like, I don't know, a lot of guys played pretty well in both games, but I mean, he was, again, the best. As he has been for so much of this season.
Yeah, agreed. I think it's like, I feel like, you know, going back, I could look at our past notes and stuff, but man, it feels like every week it's been Rochelle and Joyner, and then maybe a Ray Doe in there.
Yeah, he got it when he was on his hot streak.
I wonder, have we given it to like Austin Ritchie? Because he's had a couple good games.
I don't think so. Darian Jackson's, I've given it to him at least once or twice.
Yeah. He's definitely.
But I feel like it's mostly just been Joyner, Rochelle, and Jackson, which is like, all of our seniors.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of extremely terrifying. So, oh, well. We will steel ourselves for next season. Okay. So, yeah, mine was Brandon Rochelle as well. Same reasons. He had a great week. 16 against UCF, 18 against Northeastern State. So, average 17 on the week. He's a stud, man. Like, nothing. He does not play a bad game. He's had a few this year, but very rarely is he not show up. And when he does, you know, I'm trying to remember which game I'm thinking of here, but there was a game where he just looked asleep, and it was like, man, something's wrong, you know, because he never plays. He's very consistent. He's very good on defense. He usually lets offense come to him. He's not a forced shooter. He doesn't force shots. So it's rare for him to have that kind of game where you're like, man, what is going on with this guy? I do remember one this year where I felt like that yeah, was the case.
Wichita, the second Wichita State game. He was like,
yeah,
one for eight from two, one for seven on three. Like that was just, that was it. he could not get anything going, and it just looked like frustrated.
Yeah, so I don't know. You're right. That was the game that I'm thinking of. I don't know what the deal was there, but like so rarely does that happen. He is always like ready to go. So fortunately, if we do get to Wichita State again, that would be in the championship game of the conference tournament. So we won't have to worry about that for another couple games if we do have to worry about that again. Speaking of the tournament, let's talk about that. So that field is set. It is set in stone as of yesterday. There were two games yesterday that were needed to kind of flesh that out fully. Houston played Memphis, which was just wild, just an amazing, amazing game. Houston, they were playing for the 2-3 seed, so whoever won that game was the 2, whoever lost was the 3. Did you see the highlight of this one, Matt?
Mm-mm.
Oh, man, dude. Look it up. I mean, it was awesome. So, tie game, I think it was 64-64 with like 1.5 seconds left. Houston's taking the ball out on their own baseline, right? So they got to get to the opposite court and try to score. Otherwise, you know, otherwise they just go to overtime. It was very similar to the Joyner Wichita State play, right? So they just kind of throw the ball right about half court. Tremond Mark, I think a freshman for Houston, catches it right around there. He takes like two dribbles forward to the left side. Joyner's were to the right side against Wichita last year, but Mark was to the left. He's got two guys on his face and just chucks it up there, right? 0.5 seconds on the clock when it gets out of his hands, and banks it in to win the game. Banked three to win it, to beat Penny Hardaway in Memphis. Oh, man, it was wild. It is such a good highlight. Oh, my gosh. There's a guy, I think it was Justin Gorham for Houston, is standing under the hoop, and you can hear it in the replay. He's like, that's game. Like he says out loud, and you can hear it while the ball's still in the air. He says, that's game, because he can see it coming right at him, right? He's right under the basket. He's like, man, that's going in. That's game right there. And then it happens. And oh, man, it was amazing. So huge deal there. Houston takes down Memphis to lock up the 2 seed, which is so crazy. You're like, if Houston had lost that game, they'd be the 3 seed as the number 10 team in the country or whatever they are right now. And still, people talk about the American as a one big league potentially this year. My mind is just blown. How is that possible?
Like, because everybody takes it and looks at it as like, oh, Houston's not even that good. They don't look at it as a strength of the conference so much as.
But they're number 10, Matt.
I know, but that's not what people. I feel like that's not what people focus on. There's like, everybody says they're an overrated 10, not that they're.
Playing
stronger competition.
Like, they're not watching Wichita State or something. Like, you watch those Wichita State guys play. I mean, that is a really, really good team. Like, they could make a run in March. I'm telling you, they have so much talent on that team. I really believe it. So I do not know how they're even a question to get in, but they totally are. I mean, they're the automatic qualifier on all the brackets right now because they're the 1 seed. But, man, if they don't get in, if they lose in the championship game or something, that will make no sense to me. I'll be pretty upset, but regardless, Memphis is also kind of – Memphis and SMU are both, I think, like next four out teams right now, and that was before Memphis lost to Houston, so I assume Memphis is probably out at this point. SMU just hasn't played in a freaking month, so
I feel like
they've got no shot.
I'd be more inclined to give it to Memphis way more than SMU at this point just because Memphis plays basketball.
I know. Yeah, for sure.
I feel like that should be something of a qualify. Memphis, yeah, okay. So on ESPN, they're both next four out, but Memphis is slightly ahead of SMU.
Oh, still. Okay, interesting. So they probably didn't move at all after that Houston game. That's good. Okay, good to know. Yeah, so like the seeding, just to kind of finish it out here, I mentioned Wichita State. Obviously, they're the number one. So, and then you've got Houston. Number two, Houston. Number three, Memphis. Number four, SMU. Cincinnati at five, UCF six. We are number seven, locked in. USF number eight, Temple number nine, Tulane. Number 10, the 10 seed was the other, the 10-11 spot was the other debatable one. So Cincinnati played East Carolina on Sunday. And had East Carolina beaten Cincy that game, ECU would have been 10, Tulane would have dropped to 11. But Cincy beat them by like 25 or something, it wasn't close. So yeah, it was close for a lot of the game, actually. I was watching it, I was keeping track of the score, like, you know, just paying attention. And it actually was very close for a while. Cincinnati really pulled away in the last like 10 minutes, but they kept it close most of that game. But yeah, they did fall. So Tulane is number 10. East Carolina is the final, the 11 seed there. So we've got Tulane, 7 plays 10, 7, you know, 1 through 5, I think this year, probably every year, I guess, from now on, get the first round byes. So everyone up through Cincinnati has the bye, and then six down do not have the first round bye. So we will be playing Tulane, the 10 seed, on Thursday, March 11th at 2:00 p.m., which, man, annoys me. I love conference tournament time. I understand, like, everybody plays weekday games, conference tournaments. Ours is like the latest one of the first round, I think. I think a lot of the other conferences are starting Tuesday and Wednesday. So whatever, you know, I know it's just part of the deal. But man, I really, you know, there's a good shot we lose this game, right? It could be our last game of the year. I want to watch the game. I'm not going to be able to get any work done on Thursday. And I have a lot to do. So like, I am in a tough spot here. I don't know how to handle it. But man, God, like.
Do you remember Tulane, the Memphis game a couple of years ago? I was listening to that on the radio when
the super depressing loss.
The one where we were up and then we just let them go down the court and take a free three. Yes. And then we lost.
I know exactly the game. Yep, for sure. Yeah. God, that's.
I was
tough.
Just listening to that on the radio at my desk.
God, brutal. Oh, geez, man. Yeah, I know. It's like, oh, you know, Tulane. So we'll talk about them a little bit because we're playing them. Like, they are not very good, you know, but they're not awful. It's not like, you know, they beat us already this year. It's not like this is a runaway game. And we have not been playing great, you know, if you haven't noticed. We're not that good this year. So the chance that we lose this game is like 50-50, in my opinion. I don't think it's one way or the other. I think Tulane has a great chance to beat us and move on. I'd like to think that it's higher than 50% chance that we win this game. But, like, I don't know. I mean, they've got some ballers on their team.
Yeah, KenPom pegs it at 60% us, but we were also favored by like more than that when we played them at Tulsa.
Yeah, okay, right, exactly. And, you know, and they've got some good guys, like Jalen Forbes for their team, one of my favorite players to watch in this league. Jordan Walker, I think, is another, you know, another good one. Outside of those two, I don't, you know, I'm not really super drawn to anybody on that squad, but those are some good guards that they've got. So I worry about them. And, you know, it seems like, is it Ron Walker? Ron Hunter. Yeah. It seems like he's got them in a good spot. You know, they've lost, I think, their last four or something like that this year, but they played good teams, kind of close it out in Memphis, Cincinnati, Wichita, all good squads. So I don't know, man. Like, I'm worried about the game. I'm worried about losing to Tulane as the season finale here and being super depressed for like 2 weeks because of that. But I don't know. Like, do you think we're going to win this one?
I do. And then I think we're just going to get our lunch handed to us by Houston. I think we, there's an urgency that I think the conference tournament lends that I think will come out of the gate a lot stronger than we have. Like, we just kind of look sleepy against Tulane the first time we played them. So I feel like that won't be an issue. And I think we're the better team on paper. And so we should be able to pull it off. But I mean, our conference hopes die after that.
That hurts. Yeah, it's true though.
Like, the team that beat Houston we haven't seen that team,
dude,
since pretty much they beat Houston, it feels like.
Same for the other team that beat Houston. I guess one of the two other teams. Same for East Carolina is what I'm trying to get to. They also have literally done nothing ever since they beat them.
So,
but yeah, it's going to be weird, man. Like, Tulane, they shoot 30% from three. That is worse than us now. After Northeastern State game, that really saved our bacon in 3-point. I think we're above Cincinnati and Tulane right now in the 3-point percentage. And just last week, we were last in the conference. So, hey, making progress. Thank you, Northeastern State, for your service. That is very kind of you. Yeah, above Tulane, which is cool. We're also, because of that, not, I think, man, for the first time in a very long time this season, not on the seventh and final page of the NCAA three-point shooting rankings page, which I think, you know, it's always a bad sign when, like, if I'm trying to find our three-point percentage for the year compared to, like, the rest of the conference, I go to NCAA.com, I go to team three-point percentage, and I immediately just go to, like, page seven, right? Because I know we're going to be there. But no, I went there today or yesterday when I was getting ready for this episode, and what do you know? Couldn't find us on page seven. I was like, holy shit, are we finally on page six? And what do you know? There we were, above Tulane and Cincinnati. So very cool. Page six heroes. Let's go. That's the episode title.
I was just thinking that.
Yeah. Okay, so let's, you know, assuming that we don't win the tournament, let's talk about who we think might win it. So Houston, obviously, the favorite probably, being what seems like the best team in the conference. Wichita, obviously, good enough to beat them. So they're in the running. Memphis just took it to them, you know, on Houston's home court. Looked really good. Almost beat them, you know, aside from a fluke banked in half court three at the end of the game. Memphis would have taken them to overtime. I think they've got a shot. Outside of those guys, though, like, you know, I know SMU's got talent. They can play. But, you know, going into conference tournament, not having played in a month, you got to think that that is a huge disadvantage. I think there's a serious risk that Cincinnati beats them as the five seed because of that lack of play time. So I'd be watching that. I might, you know, there's a good shot that Cincinnati's been, you know, looking better later in the year. They've been playing their young guys a lot more lately than they had at the beginning of the year. That's a good young core that they've got in Cincinnati. So I'd be worried if I were SMU, even though they're the higher seed. And they do have talent, but, like, there's just no way you don't have rust coming off a month-long break. But either way, I don't think either of those teams will beat Wichita.
This is a top three. I think the most exciting game, I guess the championship obviously should be pretty exciting, but just that semifinal matchup between what I'm going to assume is going to be Houston and Memphis is probably going to be super exciting.
And you got to think both teams are going to be so fired up after that last game. Like, it was so good the whole time. Like, it was not like it was a runaway game and then all of a sudden, Memphis came back late to make it close. It was back and forth all game long. It was very exciting. And then it ended like that. Like, one of the best games in the conference this year. The other one being, I think, Wichita State versus Houston, when Wichita State also won at kind of the last minute. So, just wild, man. It was really cool. So I totally agree. I think that's got a shot to be a fantastic rematch in Houston and Memphis. And what do you know? Like, what if we get a Wichita State Memphis conference tournament? Houston's not even conference tournament, like, championship game. Houston's not even in it. That would be the ideal, honestly. I'm trying to get at least a second team in there. If Memphis wins, all of a sudden shot of a three bid league out of nowhere.
Wichita State could sneak in.
Yeah, dude, and I could like, that's not outside the realm of possibility here, so definitely something to watch. Regardless, though, conference tournament time, my favorite time of the year. I am freaking psyched. I even though we are not that great, I'm very excited to be watching us. You know, I was gonna say excited to watch us play Tulane, but fucking 2:00 on a Thursday, I'm not gonna be able to do that. Excited to, you know, think about the idea of us playing Tulane while I'm trying to get work done. We'll see what happens. Anyways, I'm very excited about the conference tournament, and I think a lot of people are too after having no postseason at all last year.
Mm-hmm.
Except for games. Weren't there two like conference tournaments that started or something before everything got shut down?
So the Atlantic 10 and the ACC at least were Big Ten. Like, there were a couple tournaments that had started two or three games each, and then they all.
Right.
It's just because the Americans started so late. Everyone else kind of starts on, like you were saying, Tuesday, Wednesdays. So,
yeah, okay,
that makes sense. This time last year, we were getting ready to go down to. We had our hotel and everything booked for Fort Worth.
Yeah. Hey, did we ever get our money back from that?
I hope so.
I don't remember. Did I pay for that?
Yeah, I think you.
I think I got it back. Yeah, I think. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Okay.
Thanks. That would have been like $500.
Yeah, I know. I'm pretty sure that, yeah, I would have been on top of that. So or I'd like to think I would have been on top of that. Okay, so let's wrap it up here. Quick look around the conference with what happened this past week. So Tuesday, Memphis beat South Florida by 21 in Tampa. That was kind of the lead up to the Memphis-Houston game that made it such a big deal. They had to beat USF. On Wednesday, the 3rd, Wichita State played a pretty close one against Tulane in New Orleans. Wichita State only beat them by 8. So Tulane, you know, not a pushover. They're, again, we talked about them and we talked about them plenty. Not a team that you can roll your eyes at, especially how Tulsa's.
What's up, Bill and Hurricanes fam? It's your boy, Pat Fox.
Whoa! Pat, you want to say something about the conference tournament?
You want to say something about the conference tournament?
I hope they lose for selfish reasons. I don't know. I'm sure Token disagrees. He's all like, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Chivalrous?
A chivalrous Tulsa fan. I'll take it.
That kind of thing. But yeah, what's up, Golden Hurricanes fans / Tulsa Hop? The only one.
Pat, you want to give a impromptu? Oh, he can't hear me. Ask him if he wants to give an impromptu Faith and Haith.
Do you have any impromptu Faith and Haith for this what could be Haith's final weekend?
Yeah, I'm the Leah Remini. What's her name? The woman from King of Queens. That's me. I'm going to do a show on A&D about people who used to have Faith and Haith and are recovering.
I love it.
It's going to be great. I don't know. Who's the Tom Cruise of the situation? They're just going to blackmail him and John Travolta forever. Probably Token.
I don't think it's Token anymore.
No, he didn't. Yeah. I do want to say, I think Frank Haith is a very nice man. And I feel bad that he will probably or should get fired. But it's just the nature of the business. And he does have a lot of money, so I don't feel too bad. But he's a good man. He's better than, like, Doug Wojcik.
There you have it.
Very nice. All right. A very nice impromptu moment from our former co-host.
And that solidifies Tulsa's loss to Tulane as well.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pat has been on the podcast.
Very nice. Yeah, true. Yeah, ruined everything or improved everything. Yeah, take it how you will. I don't know. I mean, I don't really want to do the rest of the games of the conference. There weren't any other really good ones except for the Houston-Memphis game. That was like the wild. That was definitely the wild game of the week. Houston-Memphis last second buzzer beater. We already talked about that. So we will move on to kind of the final notes here. We did have what I call the chaos poll on Twitter because I was kind of it was emotionally charged, I will say. So I put a poll on Twitter saying, would you rather win the AAC tournament or fire Frank Haith, right? And this was, I think I posted this before the UCF game.
Yeah, it was the afternoon, Tuesday afternoon last week.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, so Tuesday afternoon before the game started, I post, would you rather win the ASA tournament, fire Frank Haith? So, I'll just give the results here. Win the ASA tournament won 75.8% to fire Frank Haith's 24.2%. And I will note, though, that as I mentioned, I put the Twitter poll out there right before the game. Usually before the game is like the most optimistic time of the week. You know, you're thinking, okay, you know, we got a chance to win a game here. Maybe we're feeling good. So like it definitely way, way skewed win the AAC tournament early. Game starts. There is a noticeable. I took a screenshot before the game started because I thought this might happen. Right. So I took a screenshot of the poll right before the game started. And then now I'm looking at it. The poll's closed. Right. And before the game started, fire Frank Haith had 16% of the vote. And that was, that's when most of the votes were cast. 91 votes were cast total. By then, God, let me pull it up again to tell you how many had been cast at the time of the screenshot. By then, already 55 of the votes had been cast. 91 votes were cast total. So the majority of votes had already been cast by the time I took the screenshot, right, and the game started and against UCF. The poll ends. Fire Frank Haith goes from 16% to 24.2%, which means the vast majority of the people who voted after the game started voted for Fire Frank Haith, which is very funny and super interesting how people just reason about wanting a new coach. I mean, it makes sense, right? When you're down like 17 early to UCF in the first half, you're more likely to vote Fire Frank Haith than win the AAC tournament. So interesting stuff there. But yeah, a good noteworthy poll, I think. Some other final things. Tulsa men's soccer is ranked number 25 in the country after starting the season 2-0. Unfortunately, yesterday they lost to South Florida, so I don't think they're going to be ranked anymore, which sucks. But they were for a while, so noteworthy. And they are supposed to be a pretty good squad this year, so keep an eye on them. The other, like, there are two other kind of crazy things here. First, Tulsa women's golf. They've been going for 3 weeks. I saw them put this on Twitter the other day. They've been going 3 weeks, right? For those 3 weeks, they've already won two tournaments. They've had seven individual players with top 15 finishes. And a player has been named the American Conference Player of the Week twice in 3 weeks from Tulsa's women's golf team. Pretty crazy. So they are off to a very, very hot start. And then the other group off to, you know, not even off to an extremely hot start. Their season's coming to a close here. But Tulsa men's and women's cross country. Both made the NCAA cross country championship. This is, I mean, I knew that the men were good. I guess I didn't have it in my mind how good they were. This is the 11th time in the last 14 years for the men that they've made the championship, and the third straight time for them. And then the women, it's their fourth appearance overall and the second straight for them. So Tulsa cross country is on fire right now. I mean, it is like all-time high. This is very cool. So shout out to them, and also to Tulsa women's golf. Those two teams specifically this spring have been very, very good. All right, that is all the stuff I had to cover. Matt, did you have anything you wanted to bring up before we close it out?
Mm-mm.
Okay, well, this is our last regular season episode, or I guess maybe last week you could call our last regular season episode. This is our last probably our last like preview of a basketball game episode. We'll probably do some recap.
Wow, ye of little faith.
Yeah, I mean, I guess unless we win the only way would be we win the conference tournament. So I guess I do have little faith in that regard. But you never know, man. Shock the world. It could happen. We've got talent on the team. But that would be over the moon if that happened. But would I rather do that, or would I rather fire Frank Haith? You know, the world may never know. So, okay. So let's wrap it there. If you like the show, please do make sure you're subscribed to it. Share it on Twitter. Tell a friend about it. Leave us a review on wherever you listen to this, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever. If you want to support us financially, you can find a couple different ways to do that. Both of them are on our website. You can go to thegoldenhurricast.com/support to find those ways. And finally, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at goldenhurricast, or you can send us an email, and that email address is thegoldenhurricast@gmail.com. Thank you very, very much for listening, everybody, and we will talk to you next week.
Stay golden.